No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for those of you joining us live on the Illegal Curve post-game show, welcome to the Ezzy and Dave show. We have no Drew Mandel, so I will be your host this evening. Drew is away from the show. He may join us. We're not sure. And for now, it's just going to be the Ezzy and Dave show. So let's get cracking, Ez. Jets fall 3-1. Things aren't so joyful in Jets line, which you wouldn't have expected based on how that first period played out. But once the Pens equalized the game, they seemed to take it over. But for the first period, if you would have thought that was the whole game, the Jets were looking good after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that third period was probably more concerning to me, Dave. You know, first off, before we get into, you know, some of the goals here, shout out to Leah Hextall, who was doing the play-by-play on Sportsnet, good friend of the show. So she was doing an awesome job on tonight's broadcast. But yeah, I mean, you know, the first period, the Jets badly outshot the Penguins. What was it, 11-2, Dave? Yeah. I think it was 11-5, but at one point it was 11-2. The Penguins
had 5 minutes with 5 minutes to go in the first period.
Right. And then the Pens had some decent chances toward the end of the first. And yeah, the second period, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you had that play with Jake Guentzel, it was Neil Pionk and Guentzel when he was crashed the net on Hellebuck. And I know there were a lot of people in the building you could hear that were upset, you know, about that. But, you know, I actually didn't think it was, you know, as bad as some people necessarily thought, right? Because you had Pionk and Guentzel really in tight on Hellebuck. And really, Guentzel just ran out of steam. And Guentzel, as we know, Dave, is not a dirty player by any stretch of the imagination, right? So, I mean, I think, you know, the call on the ice was right. But it almost seemed like, you know, the Jets wanted more out of that. And they were frustrated. And, you know, they couldn't convert on the power play opportunity that they had in the second period, even though they did get some decent scoring chances. But, you know, the defensive coverage to me was a big problem there in the second period. Like, Jason Zucker's goal, like, obviously, you know, it comes right when the penalty is expiring, right? But, you know, you had Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more as the show progresses here. But, you know, Scheifele and Connor aren't guys that you've seen on the PK a lot this year or in previous years. But, you know, it was just kind of poor defensive coverage with, I believe it was Morrissey and Schmidt that went to Evan Rodriguez. Rodriguez, if you remember, he started the rush, had some nice speed coming into the Jet zone. But, you know, Jason Zucker just had, you know, tons of time to move right in and then roof it past Connor Hellebuck. So, you know, I didn't like the defensive coverage. And then there, Dave, I was mentioning to you, you know, during the third period here while we were watching it, like, you know, towards the end of the second period there with about a minute and change left, you know, like Brian Dumoulin just walked right in from the blue line. It seemed like Blake Wheeler thought that, you know, it should have been Kyle Connor's guy, but there was nobody else there, right? So Dumoulin just walked right in. Luckily, you know, Dumoulin isn't exactly a sniper. You know, he's more known for his, you know, D play. So I just thought the D coverage was a little bit sloppy. Like Greg Millen said it on the broadcast. He just thought, you know, the Jets start to the Jets actually had two power plays in the second period because they started the period with the about a minute and 40 seconds, I think, on Marcus Pettersson's penalty, right? The interference call on Adam Lowry. But he said that it was just a sleepy kind of power play. And it was really kind of a sleepy second and third period for the Jets. I just didn't think they were sharp. You know, the goal that was scored by Danton Heinen, I mean, obviously Connor Hellebuck gives up a big rebound. And sometimes those are tough, Dave, the ones that kind of come right off the chest. You know, I think Hellebuck would tell you he didn't like the fact that he gave up such a juicy rebound. But Heinen just beats Brendan Dillon to the puck, right? Like Dillon was there, but it was just, you know, kind of Johnny on the spot type of goal for Heinen. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I like the Jets, the first period was good, but the second and third period, I mean, you talk about dictating pace. Like they did not dictate the pace in the second and third period. I thought Pittsburgh was pretty much in control of that game the second period on.
Yeah, and just to answer Mac Richter's question, he asked, he says the game stunk. Please talk about Nathan Smith, the Jets 2018 third rounder, and are we going to lose him a la Jimmy Vesey and Adam Fox? You don't have to worry about losing him. He is just a junior in college. So Nathan Smith, who's now the number one leading scorer in the nation in NCAA hockey, he is not going to be lost to the Jets. He's just playing his third year of college. So they've got another year of him, and I suspect based on the fact that they need some forward prospects, they will do their best to get him signed. So a quick aside, because Mac asked the question about Nathan Smith, so we'll get that in there.
No, the Jets' only draft pick from Tampa Bay, Florida, right, Dave?
That is true. A roller hockey star before he even played any ice hockey. So, you know, a remarkable story there. And he's having a really excellent season for the University of Minnesota State. Mankato, the Mavericks, a.k.a. the home of 2014 fifth rounder CJ Cease, who was also a member of the Mavericks. Lots of Minnesota connections on this Jets team. Anyway, so getting back to the game, and actually speaking of guys from Minnesota, got to talk about Dominic Toninato. It's funny, as I thought that fourth line had played really well in that first period, and they had generated some chances just before Toninato scored off that kind of broken play by Pionk firing it at the net. But, you know, he gets rewarded, that line gets rewarded for the way they had played. And, you know, he and Riley Nash had an earlier chance on the two-on-one that they couldn't get to go. Jari made the stop. But still, I mean, it's nice to see when you're getting contributions from guys like Toninato. You know, I mean, Toninato has as many goals as Mark Scheifele, and other, you know, he's got more goals than Blake Wheeler. So when a guy like Dominic Toninato, who's got, you know, already two goals, not a lot of goals, but still has two goals, that's a good thing for your team, even though obviously the result isn't a good thing.
Well, we know Toninato has good hands, right? Like, we've talked about that before. Like, he has the ability to score. We know that he's a good penalty killer and he's a speedy guy. And I thought there were kind of similarities between, you know, the Danton Heinen goal and Toninato's goal, right, Dave? Because it was, you know, off of a little bit different in the sense that the shot didn't get through. I forget, you know, who blocked the shot. It might have been Chad Ruedel. I'd have to go back and look, but the point shot from, it was Pionk, if I'm not mistaken, right, Dave? Didn't get through. But just kind of similar, like Johnny on the spot, like he just jumps on that rebound. Yeah. And that's the thing with Toninato. Like, he's a very smart player, and he's a guy that just has like the hockey smarts to, you know, jump on that puck and quickly, you know, kind of turn around and fire it in. So that was just kind of a slick, savvy type of goal from Toninato. Same thing with Danton Heinen. And, you know, watching this game, like, you knew that, you know, Sidney Crosby, this was only his sixth game of the season, but like, the Penguins came in into this game, you know, having won two games, both shutouts over Montreal and Ottawa, and, you know,
Toronto.
But Tristan Jarry, you knew, like, he wasn't going to give up a lot of goals. He was really strong in the first period. You mentioned, you know, the Nash and Toninato had another two-on-one chance before he scored. So, I mean, Jarry, I thought, was really strong, but, you know, the Penguins are still kind of a fast, feisty team. Like, obviously, no Malkin, and, you know, this isn't as deep of a team as certainly the teams that won the back-to-back cups, right? Seems like forever ago. But, I mean, this Penguins team, they were causing the Jets all types of problems. We talked about Rodriguez. I mean, you had Kasperi Kapanen. You know, I kind of forgot that he was on the Penguins, Dave, at one point in this game. And, you know, Kapanen was, you know, flying around a little bit out there, you know, getting some shots on net. So, I mean, this Penguins team, you can say whatever you want about them, and they probably, you know, won't be much more than a kind of a, you know, a first round exit type of team, right? They might miss the playoffs in that division, but I mean, they're playing really well right now, right? Because they're kind of out of the playoff picture and they're desperate. So I thought that desperation kind of, you know, came through in the second period. But yeah, I really didn't really like the, you know, some of the defensive decisions, the defensive coverage. I just thought, you know, the Jets were forcing it too much. And after the first period, they really weren't shooting the puck enough, I thought. And even though they had 14 shots on net, I just, you know, how many of those were actually high danger chances, right? Like,
no.
I think of, you know, I forget if it was the first period or the second period, Jansen Harkins found Svechnikov for a decent scoring chance. But, you know, Scheifele, Kopp, and Ehlers, like, you know, they had a pretty decent game. Dubois, Connor, and Wheeler, like, they were matched up against the Crosby line. And I thought at times, Dave, that line had a lot of problems with the speed of Crosby, Gensel, and Rust.
Yeah, and, you know, before we continue going on about the game, we should, Blake Wallace points out that his buddy Evan did the anthem, did a really good job. Evan's done a lot of the Moose games, does some Jets games. He's a cancer survivor. We should mention today was the Jets, you know, cancer game. The, what do they call it? The Hockey Fights Cancer game. And you know what? It was really nice. It was a tough pregame ceremony. I was in the building, and it's, you know, cancer sucks in any capacity. And as they talked about it, it touches everybody in doesn't matter where you are in life, it can affect you. And it's especially hard when you're watching these kids who are so tough and so resilient, and like, they have a smile on their face despite what they're going through. So, I mean, maybe put that into perspective, people. I know people are upset about the game. I know they're mad. But like, just remember, like there's a lot more important to life than about hockey. And we love hockey. We cover it. And just to to put that into perspective, I think, because like it's so hard. Like I said, like they're just below where the kids are. They're not on the ice this year, which they've been on the ice, but I guess with COVID, maybe it's a little different, but they were just below where I am in the press box. And you know, you see these little faces and they're so full of hope and so full of life. And it's just, it's really tough to see. And it's just, it's such a, they're so courageous and they deserve, I just want to mention them because I really think like they deserve the kudos. And, you know, it's the one time in the press box you're allowed to applaud and because like they deserve all the kudos. And I'm not trying to direct away the conversation from the game tonight. I just think it's important to mention one, to put it into perspective, but two, also to really draw some attention to what these kids are going through and battling for their lives. And, you know, they'll be battling probably for the rest of their lives with this, but they show such courage and they're such awesome kids that it's just, it chokes you up a little bit again, right? Like to watch what they're going through. So I just wanted to mention that because I think like it's important to keep that in mind, not to distract away from the game. We'll talk about that more, but I think I forgot to mention it off the top and I wanted to, so sorry about not getting that in.
No. I you can talk as much as you want about that, Dave, right? And it's affected the Jets players and coaching staff personally, right? With Josh Morrissey's losing his dad. And then we know about Jamie Compton's wife who's battling cancer, right? So, you know, it's a horrible thing, but you know, a kid getting a Jets player putting a smile on a kid's face, that's much more important than the outcome of the game, right? Like I think sometimes, you know, we kind of lose perspective a little bit here. So the Hockey Fights Cancer Night is always a fun night when the Jets and Moose do it. But yeah, unfortunately the Jets weren't able to win tonight, but you know, you could see a lull. You could see a kind of sag in the Jets game in the second period, right? Like we talked about, you know, the power play wasn't great to start the period. The first unit was out there for the majority of that power play. And, you know, we talked about kind of the pace of this game. And Ken Wiebe was on the Saturday morning show, and he talked about how, for the most part, the Jets were able to dictate the pace. And I think, you know, that's especially important against a team like Pittsburgh who has as much speed, right? And we knew coming into this game, you know, the Penguins, you know, we talked about the couple wins in a row, but we knew that, you know, this was a team that likes to shoot a lot. They have Crosby back. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And, you know, the Jets just didn't have it tonight. Like it was a little bit bizarre because, as you said, Dave, the first period was so dominant. The Jets from a possession perspective, right, which obviously comes with the, you know, the shot differential. And then it just seemed like in the second and third period, they couldn't match, you know, just those battles. The Penguins were winning a lot of battles. You know, we talked about, you know, that first goal, Evan Rodriguez, he just followed it up his own, you know, zone entry with speed and was first to that puck. Two Jets defensemen go to him. And then Jason Zucker is just in there. And Jason Zucker actually had a good scoring chance, you know, a few minutes before that. So, I mean, this Penguins team is obviously not as deep as the Jets, but if you give them those opportunities, they're eventually going to capitalize, right? And they had 14 shots in the second period, and they obviously, you know, had the response from a really bad first period. So, you know, this was one of those Jets games that you definitely want to flush down the toilet and you want to regroup because you're about to play a Columbus team that, what did they score, 7 goals tonight?
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, on Buffalo, 7-4, right. They beat the Buffalo Sabres.
Still,
so. I mean, anything can happen. The Ottawa Senators were in a game that they were being outshot by about 100-1, and somehow it was 5-5, and then they gave up a late goal for Colorado. We think it was the win, but we don't know, because we, of course, came to do the Illegal Curve postgame show, which is what you're listening to. I'm Dave Minuk in one corner. This is Ezra Ginsberg in the other, and we've got no Drew Mandel tonight.
We're not going to scrap, are we, Dave? Because I don't think any circumstances ever scrap you. I love you too much, man.
I appreciate that. No, nothing but love here for you, big guy. But anyways, you know, one of the things we have to talk about for sure, I think, is the penalties, because they were questionable, right? Like the Pierre-Luc Dubois high sticking was more of an interference. And I'm watching, it's right in front of me. I'm thinking, okay, that's an interference call. And yet they call it high sticking. And then
there was no high stick.
No, I know. And then same with the Andrew Copp one, where it looked like the Penn's teammate got him, but they called Copp on it. And Copp, you could see he's pissed off, you know, maybe because he's auditioning for Team USA, doesn't want to be taking penalties. But, you know, that was one of those situations where I kind of joked about it because I thought to myself, how riveting is this going to be? You've got the 31st ranked penalty kill against a 32nd ranked power play in the NHL. So not exactly two teams that are going to be getting it done. But although the Pens did have some chances, Connor Hellebuyck, he was really good throughout the course of this game. Obviously the rebound he gave up, you know, which led to the second goal, wasn't ideal, but overall, like, he had to be sharp he played pretty well. But what did you think of the Jets penalty kill? Do you think that they adjusted at all for the Penguins, even though the Penguins are coming in here a little bit, you know, tight in that regard?
That Penguins power play, Dave, I can understand why it's been awful the entire year, even with Sidney Crosby back in the lineup. I mean, you've still got Chris Letang. You've still got Jay Gensel. And I was kind of thinking, watching this game, you know, Gensel kind of reminds me a little bit of Kyle Connor. Obviously, you know, he hasn't scored as many goals as Connor over the last, you know, however many years, 4 or 5 years. This is a guy that has 2 Stanley Cup rings. And he's a guy that has kind of been a perennial kind of 20 goal, 50 point guy. And has he benefited from playing with, you know, even more than 50 points, but has he benefited from playing with Crosby? Of course he has, but it's not easy to play with one of the best players in the world, right? Like, it's not like anybody can just play there. Same thing goes with Brian Rust. Like, he's played with both Malkin and Crosby, but, you know, I thought Gensel, I mean, we saw, you know, a couple scoring chances they had in the first period, right? Crosby and Gensel. But that power play, like, First off, it looked like, you know, 30 seconds of that power play in the second period was just the Penguins rimming the puck to each other around the boards. Like, it was, they couldn't get control of it. They couldn't get anything set up. And obviously Zucker's goal comes, you know, right as the penalty expired. But like, it just was a very ugly looking power play, especially when you consider that, you know, the Jets can move the puck just as good as most teams, right? I mean, Edmonton right now is kind of in a league of their own, but you can kind of understand why, you know, this Penguins team wasn't very good up until these last 3 wins in a row. But I mean, when Malkin comes back and, you know, they start to, you know, I guess have a full lineup, I think you're probably going to see, you know, a bit of a run from the Penguins. They're already doing it right now. But yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it, like, all it takes, even if it's a team that's kind of quote unquote less talented than you, I mean, all it takes is you kind of fall asleep and you give them some opportunities. And, you know, in that second period, it's not like, you know, the Penguins were not very good in the second period and didn't have any scoring chances. You know, right before the Jason Zucker goal, if you remember, Danton Heinen had a really good chance in close. Yep. Not talking about the goal in the third period. I'm talking about, you know, in the second period. So, I mean, the Pens were pressing and they tied the game up. And, you know, they obviously go ahead and end up getting the empty netter. But, like, to me, the Jets just, they didn't play well. I mean, I think you could just say that, right, Dave? Like, the Jets did not play well. It was not the quote-unquote 60-minute effort. They had one good period. They had a few good chances in the second and third period. Like, what I'm taking a look right now at National Statric, like, the high danger chances were tied. The Jets had 4 and 3 in the second and third period. So it was a fairly even game that you could say, like, you know, it was a game that was going to most likely come down to, you know, there wasn't going to be a lot of goals, you know, after that second period. So,
right.
Look, the Pens came in hot and the Jets just didn't match their intensity from the majority of, you know, let's say the middle of the second period on.
Well, you know, it's funny because they say it's a cliche to say that hockey is a 60-minute game, but I mean, you can't play a good 20 minutes and expect that to carry over, right? I mean, the Penguins, as you said, are a hot team coming in here feeling good about their game. They've put the wins. Jari's got back-to-back shutouts. So, you know, I mean, he shut down the Leafs, right? And the Leafs.
Is he in the Olympic conversation, by the way, Dave? Like, he should be.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to be like he's, it's funny because I saw one of the quotes about him was, you know, he wants to show the Penguins that their faith in him was well-earned. And I think he has, right? I mean, I think, you know, when there's a lot of doubt on him and he's saying, look, I want to be considered a top goaltender. And again, he shut down the Leafs. You know, and you've got a guy who's coming in.
Which is no easy feat, right? Because the Leafs are one of the hottest teams in the league.
That's right. And, you know, like, it was funny because I, at one point when it was 2-1, sorry, it had that feel a bit of the Kings-Jets game where the Pens were sitting back and not being super aggressive. And I thought to myself, and I was going to tweet it, I was like, well, you know, maybe that's happening again. But then all of a sudden, Pens started attacking a little bit more. And you're thinking to yourself, they're not sitting back. I mean, and that's the difference between a more veteran group and a younger group, is that the more veteran, you know, Penn's team was able to not sit back and, you know, rest on their laurels and expect to just be able to win a game, you know, keep that game that tight, knowing that the Jets are going to try and counterattack. So they didn't, and they maintained and they kept attacking. And I thought that was, of course, the difference, because the Jets were kind of almost expecting that to happen. And then it's almost like they have so much talent, they know eventually they'll get at their shots. But, you know, they pulled the goaltender, and I mean, that was not a pleasant experience by the Jets. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck goes out and with just over 2 minutes to go, and you know, I mean, it was not a good it was not something you're going to want to, you know, show on the tape as an example of what you should do and show the desperation when you have your net empty.
Well, you nailed it, right? Because Jake Guentzel just, he absolutely hustles. And it was Pierre-Luc Dubois who realized, like, okay, I'm the only guy right now. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, you could call it attention to detail. You could call it focus. You could call it execution. You can call it whatever you want. Like, you know, we mentioned this earlier. Greg Millen on the broadcast said it about the power play. But I really thought, you know, for the majority of the second and third period, there was a little bit of sleepiness to the Jets game. And that's not something that we've seen, you know, bad periods here and there, but that was not what you would call an A effort or an A game from the Jets. It just wasn't. And even though Pittsburgh came into the game having, you know, back-to-back shutouts, I mean, let's be honest here, this Penguins team isn't exactly a world beater here, right? Yeah. So yeah, it was just one of those games. Like, you know, we talked about it on Saturday, right? Like, you have the one home game, Dave, kind of an odd situation, right? And then you've got the three road games coming up that are kind of all over the place, right? Like, yeah, you go to Columbus, then you go to Minnesota, Calgary, back to back. So, you know, you wonder if the Jets were already kind of, you know, it kind of sounds a little bit ridiculous, but you kind of wonder if they've already started thinking about that three games in 4 nights coming up, right? Like, I have no idea, but it was a game in which, you know, the Jets just weren't sharp enough when they needed to be, right? Like, in the first period, yeah, like, we've seen the Jets come out like a house on fire many times before, and they were clearly the better team, and the Jets are clearly the better team, right? But it was just not a very good performance. I don't know how many times I can say it, but, you know, I was kind of watching the game at home,
yeah,
obviously, before I came over here, Dave, but I was just kind of scratching my head, like, what's going on here? And, you know, we kind of talked about Dubois, Connor, and Wheeler, you know, at times having, you know, a tough time against the Crosby line with Rust and Guentzel. But it just didn't seem like, you know, when the Jets needed a goal, it was kind of unclear who they were going to get it from. You know, Nick Ehlers was creating, you know, with his speed, obviously, but it was just, it wasn't one of those ones that you want to show to your friend who you want to convince to be a Jets fan, right?
Well, you know, it's almost like when Kyle Connor, when the puck bobbled on him during the breakaway, you almost thought, okay, well, that sums it up. When a guy who's that electric,
it's one of those nights, right?
And he bobbles it. Now, again, you're not saying, okay, c'est la vie, no big deal, because you've now lost how many games, right? You're in a bit of a tailspin. And, you know, one of the things that the Jets, and by the way, we got to give a shout out to Kenny's water bottle. He's noticing that for some reason the show is one third better tonight. He can't put his finger on it, but he's noticing the show is a little bit better tonight.
Well, Drew texted me right before we went on, and he said he's stuck in traffic because Drew was, you know, for everybody watching and listening, Drew was at the game with our good friend Benji Goldenberg, Dr. Goldenberg. So he was in the crowd tonight, as opposed to Dave M, who was repping IC in the press box, but he told us that he was in traffic. So, I mean, he can still pop on any time, but, you know, he's running out of time here because we're already, what, 23 minutes in here. But,
we are.
I'm liking the extra airtime, Drew.
We may not let him on. We may not let him on. Hold on. Although Tracy says, I'm on the wrong side. Here, Tracy, watch this. The magic of photography. I'm now on the other side. So I'm back where I should be. But Ezzy's really not supposed to be there, so still kind of weird. But anywho, this is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm Dave Minuke. That's Ezra Ginsberg. Like you to smash the like button. Please give us a little like. Helps us with our algorithm. And, you know, big shout out to a number of you, Sandy, who dropped comments on our on the podcast for iTunes. That really helps us out as well. So we appreciate if folks can go in. And again, like I said, constructive criticism is fine. One of the comments was, we're not close enough to our mics. I sometimes tend to drop back a little bit, and I think as a result, maybe I'm not as close to my mic as he's always.
So we're getting really technical here. Like, people, are people going to start talking about like our appearance and commenting on that type of thing? Because I mean, you could write a thesis on my appearance, right? Dave M usually looks pretty sharp and clean shaven, and he's got definitely a more expensive wardrobe than I do. But no, we appreciate it. I mean, but if you don't like us too, I mean, I've said it before, not everybody likes us. I think sometimes we like to think that. No, I'm just kidding. But no, we always appreciate all the feedback we get from the fans for sure.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, we anybody time you want to do that, and then smash that like button, hit the subscribe button. That also is important, and ring that bell. Make sure you have the notifications turned on. That way, you know, each and every single time the Illegal Curve Hockey Show or the Illegal Curve Post Game Show goes live, and then you can listen to me, Ezzy, and occasionally Drew. Actually,
the dulcet tones of David Minuke.
Yes, yes. The guy who's occasionally featured in commercials. Not too often, just occasionally.
Anyway, you should be in more, to be honest with you.
Well, we'll see.
I think you should be in a couple 7-Eleven commercials with Jesse Pollock talking about how you used to, you know, drink a Slurpee every day, but then you went cold turkey.
Ooh.
Or I guess cold Slurpee in this case.
Cold Slurpee. That'd be interesting, guys. And then maybe they'll try and see if every time I think I'm out, they'll drag me back in. June 13th, 2011. Last time I had a Slurpee. Anyways.
Which coincidentally was when the Jets came back to Winnipeg. Officially. Shortly after.
Shortly thereafter. Yeah, I think Stephen Brunt broke it a little bit
before. On our show. He came on our show.
Oh, yeah, he did come on the show. That's right. Yeah. Good point. Although the real breaking of it was when Bill Daly came on. This is what I always talk about. When Bill Daly came on the show and everybody was talking about the – sorry, guys. We're going to do a little sidebar here. A little illegal curve sidebar. But everybody was talking about the Phoenix Coyotes and talking about how the Phoenix was the target. And if you'll remember – those of you who are hardcore LegalCurve.com supporters, you'll remember that we used to do a daily column called Drama in the Desert, focusing on all the articles and everything that was going on in Phoenix. And then Bill Daly came on the
Those were some dark days, show. By the way.
They were dark days. And then, yeah.
What was it, Judge Atwater? Is that
yeah.
the Goldwater?
Oh, my
the
God.
Goldwater Institute? Yeah,
they were really dark. They were so dark that we were watching the Phoenix, what were they? The City Council. And Little Logan, it was painful. But anyways.
Oh, no. Little Logan.
And then Bill Daly came on and talked on this show. Well, it was not necessarily this show. It was the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And he
what
said,
do you think I Logan's don't want- up to now, by the way?
It's probably about 25, 30. Maybe he's working for the Coyotes. Who knows?
He's actually older than us.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, the point is he came on the show and he said, everybody's talking about the Coyotes, but nobody's talking about Atlanta. And all of a sudden, everybody in Winnipeg's antennas got heightened and said, ooh, interesting.
Well, no, but that was one of the first times that, you know, it became evident that there was a better chance that the Thrashers were coming to Winnipeg.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah. It's unbelievable that was, what was that, 10 and a half years ago, 11 years ago now, right? No, it would have been more than 10 and a half. Yeah, 11 and a half
longer.
Years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
So anyways, the point is that good times on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We appreciate the support, whether it's right now or whether it was over a decade ago. As why don't we, do you want to jump to a commercial? Do you think that should be the time?
Let's jump to a commercial, but you know, I want to give a shout out to DF Darren Ford, because I don't know if you remember this. You probably remember this. He came into the 1445 Pembina Studios and had some champagne with us.
Champagne.
I'm pretty sure he brought the champagne. So shout out to Darren Ford, aka JetsOwner.com. Hopefully, you know, he's watching, or maybe someone tells him if he's not watching. But yeah, really good guy. And that was a night we'll never forget, right, Dave?
That's true. Okay. Anyways, thanks, everyone. We're going to head to the commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll have some more of the illegal. We'll get back to the actual post-game show talking about the Winnipeg Jets.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa! Oh, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed two fresh Bagelsmith bagels with schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, yes I did. What's your point?
Come on, bagel boy, let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop located at 185 Carlton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, One call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Boston Pizza, the perfect place for a drink. Or the new pickle pizza. Across from this guy, who's getting his fill of some classic cactus-cut nachos. Next to some hockey fans that just saw a nasty OT winner. Boston Pizza. Enjoy some... What? Look at that guy. Just having a soak, eh? Eh, you do you. Enjoy some old fall favorites and some new ones, however you like, at Boston Pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I am your host, Dave Manuk. In my on my left is my good friend Ezra Ginsberg, who's now wearing a toque, a fireball toque, if I recall correctly. And
fireball
snafu before, you know. I mean, Drew's been running the show, and so it's all on me to be watching the chat, talking to Ezzy, hosting this, figuring it all out. It's usually a three-man operation. That's why it runs a lot more smoothly when it's just a two-man operation.
Right? By the way, I think after that performance in the third period, I'm going to need to probably drink at least half of that 40 that Seagram's gave us, Fireball, Dave. So, you know, I'm not just wearing the toque to, you know, support one of our sponsors. I actually think I'm going to need that. It's going to be okay. A little bit of a rough night, though, because it's 10 to 11, and I have to wake up early with the kids because they wake
up
early.
Tracy says this show is fire, so it's appropriate that you're wearing a Fireball toque, and I've got a fire behind me, and you'll be drinking some Fireball.
We're pyromaniacs on a legal curve. That's basically what it comes down to. We love fire. No, I'm obviously we're joking. But well, I don't think anybody thought that was serious. But
we bring the heat a little bit. We do bring the heat, perhaps. Anyways, back to the Jets game. So, I mean, the one thing that we should probably talk about is the switch of the lines at one point in the third period. Blake Wheeler was back with Lowry and Veselainen. And then they had Svechnikov with.
I didn't even notice the Veselainen was playing tonight. Did he do anything?
No, I would say Harkins actually did some things, although it's amazing how many people.
Well, Harkins is consistent. Like, you know, I mean, Dave, we both are big fans of his game. And we talked about, you know, his hustle to get Svechnikov the puck. Like, the thing I like about that play, too, if you remember, there was a rebound and Harkins went right around the net, went right to the net to get the rebound. Obviously, didn't result in a goal. But right. I mean, he was hustling. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe somebody in the chat can tell me what Veselainen did tonight, but I don't think he did much. I don't mean to pick on him. I just didn't think he really had an impact on the game at all.
No, I mean, and I think that's a fair assessment, right? We've wondered. I mean, it's funny because you're kind of expecting the Jets to the bottom six to kind of do something, right? Like, how is it going to look? What's the consistency of it? We've got, you know, the expectation is Paul Stastny will be back. He skated in advance of morning skate today, so he'll be back. Where will he kind of fit in? How's that going to adjust things? The Jets are scheduled to practice tomorrow before they leave for Columbus. So perhaps we'll get a little more insight based on that. And if you're not paying attention on Twitter, if you want, don't forget illegalcurve.com. We'll have a practice report up at some point tomorrow. So that will have all the latest from Jets practice and it'll have the lines and however they're constructed tomorrow. And usually there's an expectation if depending on what happens with Paul Stastny, we'll see if that impacts how he looks in Columbus and whether they throw him into the lineup and into the mix. But I guess as the question is, if you're Paul Maurice and you're looking at this lineup, which seems to be struggling, especially, and look, I'm not going to say that Svechnikov, although he did have a very good game, not this game, but well, he was okay this game, but the game prior. So the question is, do you go back to Svechnikov with Dubois and Connor, pull Wheeler off that line and throw him back with Lowry, and whether it's Lowry and Harkins or Lowry and Stastny, Wheeler and Lowry and Harkins, but some way in some capacity just to reduce the minutes, because it just doesn't seem like right now that Blake Wheeler has the go to be able to keep rolling the way Paul Maurice is trying to get him to roll.
Yeah, and he played 20 minutes tonight, right? So, I mean, it's not like obviously, you know, Wheeler, some of that time came on the power play. We talked about it. The what was it, the second power play, he was out there for the majority of it. 3 minutes of power play time.
Well,
right?
I mean, sorry, as a quick aside, as why is Blake Wheeler on for a minute and a half of power play? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I get that you have possession of the puck, but a minute and a half, like, there's no reason for that.
Well, we kind of talked about it, like, ideally, right? Like, you want a kind of a 50-50 split. I mean, I'm not a hockey coach. I'm not a power play coach. But ideally, you would want to, if it's a 2 minute power play, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you wouldn't want any power play unit, even if it's, you know, the Oilers, right? Like, I guess some people would probably say, no, that's ridiculous. You want it out there. But I think we've seen, you know, when the second power play unit doesn't get as much time, it struggles. And that was kind of, you know, the Jets' big strength going into the season is that the Jets' second power play is just as effective, just as dangerous as the first power play. So obviously we're not worried about the Jets power play. It's the penalty kill that has really been, you know, the biggest issue through the
power
18.
Play. I think they were 11th coming into tonight's game.
Right. And we talked about, you know, the power play tonight. I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, we talked about, you know, the early second period power play was obviously, you know, the worst of the two. But yeah, I mean, back to the kind of lines that you were talking about there, Dave, like, you know, so just looking at natural stat trick again, a shout out to them. Obviously, we're always, you know, looking
we're always referencing them.
Always referencing them. But, you know, Svechnikov actually had the highest, Corsi 4 at even strength of any Jets player, right? So, and that matched the eye test, right? Like, Svechnikov was noticeable out there. So, yeah, I mean, Connor Dubois, they're going to stay together. And to me, that's, and I know, you know, a few people in the chat are talking about this, like, Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, that wasn't one of his strongest games, and you're obviously not going to criticize him too much because he's arguably been the Jets' best forward all year long, along with Connor and Ehlers. But that, to me, was kind of an issue. I saw, you know, our good friend Dom Zappia, you know, saying that none of the lines were really noticeable tonight. It's kind of true. Like, there wasn't any Jets line that was necessarily driving the play. Like, you could argue in that first period, it was the fourth line that was the best line for the Jets, right? Which obviously resulted in a goal for them. So, you know, that's a little concerning. You know, is this going to be a one-off? Like, we talked about it, these next three games and four nights, Dave, like, this is not going to be an easy little stretch here. Like, the Blue Jackets, you know, they're not necessarily, a Stanley Cup contender here, but, you know, Minnesota, that's the Jets, one of the Jets' biggest competition for, you know, that top spot in the Central, along with the St. Louis Blues and Colorado Avalanche. And then you're playing a Flames team that, I don't know if you've looked at the standings recently. The Flames are first in the Western Conference, which you know, I'll take Andrew Mangiapane's goals because I've got him in my hockey pool and he's got 15 of them, right? So, I mean, this Flames team is dangerous. They're good defensively. So, I mean, the Jets are going to have a good response here, not just against Columbus, which is obviously going to be the Pierre-Luc Dubois revenge game. So I don't think anybody will be surprised if, you know, Dubois has a huge game and pops in a goal or two, but you know, this was not a good effort. And, you know, the two games against the Oilers and the game against the Canucks, in which they could have easily got 2 points. I mean, it's really surprising. It's hard to really wrap your head around this, Dave, you know, why the Jets were, you know, struggling so much to generate, you know, quality scoring chances and struggling defensively in the second and third period. But yeah, I would probably, you know, go Connor, Dubois and Svechnikov. And I would keep Scheifele, Kopp and Ehlers together, even though, you know, they didn't have their best game. We know that, you know, in those two games against the Oilers and the game against the Canucks, they were really strong, you know, possession and they were contributing on the score sheet. So I don't know if you necessarily have to tinker with the lines that much.
Yeah. Well, as I mean, we try and do what the fans want. And Jack Bauer has asked for me to do a Muse D evaluation as to where they are in relation to the Jets. And that kind of leads into like a Moose Minute. So maybe it's...
Wasn't there a character named Jack Bauer, like played by Kiefer Sutherland? Like, yeah, what was that show called?
I didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
It was a suspense one.
What was he, the president or something?
No. It was like... I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Somebody in the chat help us out here.
24.
Hold on. Wasn't that about the Montreal Canadiens?
No, it was not. So anyways... We'll get to, hold on, I'm not going to put that.
By the way, Dave, I don't know if you just saw, there's about 12 people that wrote
24. Well, there. Obviously, so you
obviously
and I are not
we're not too good with our pop culture references.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're not good on the pop culture, but everybody else in chat, good for you guys. They are into it. Now, but what we are into are the Manitoba Moose. We know what's going on with them. Moose were looking to close out the three-game series with the Milwaukee Admirals on Sunday afternoon. And it was not the Mikael Burden show, unfortunately, for the Moose. The Jets' 2016 sixth rounder did not play his best game. Now, in his defense, he got, now, and I didn't notice this at first. I actually had someone tweet at me, and then I went back and watched the tape. He did get slashed in the hands. The refs, I will say, if you have complaints with the NHL refs, don't come and watch AHL games, because the refereeing is absolutely atrocious. Like, it is not good. And so Mikael Burden got it slashed. That kind of set the pace for him. He gave up just two atrocious goals in the second. The second and third goals were terrible goals. He should have had both of those in the second period. So that kind of allowed Milwaukee, who were a desperate team. The Moose had come in, they'd won the two previous games in that series, but Milwaukee was playing kind of with desperation. The Moose went with the rare 11-7. Mikey Essiemont, who has quite a few goals. He's in COVID protocol right now. So they used six of the seven guys being used, with the exception of Jimmy Olney, were Jets draft picks. It was Sandberg and Kovacevic. It was Heinola, who was paired with Olney, who's playing on his right side, even though he's a lefty. Chisholm and Gavanke and Simon Lundmark, the 2019 second rounder. He was playing as kind of the seventh defenseman. So it wasn't a great game overall, but there was a lot of good things. David Gustafson, I know people are going to like to hear about this. David Gustafson was phenomenal in the game once again. I mean, he just does everything the right way. I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record or whatever the new 2021 version of that expression is, but I mean, Gustafson is a complete player. The Moose, I mean, it's funny. I tweeted about it. I was factually incorrect, but the Moose penalty kill is third in the AHL, right? They were first. They slipped down to fourth. They were third. And they gave up yesterday. They gave up a goal on a 5-on-3, but which is almost impossible to defend, especially when your goaltender isn't playing particularly well. But David Gustafson was excellent. They one shift, a 4-on-4. And this is one of the things that people don't focus on so much with prospects in development. And they say, oh, you know, why are you wasting him down there? 4-on-4 opportunity, Cole Perfetti, David Gustafson, Declan Chisholm, Leon Gavanke. Right, and Leon and Declan are both offensively minded defensemen more than they are defensive. But it was unbelievable. It was 45 seconds. I have it on my Twitter. I have it on the Illegal Curve Instagram account. They controlled the puck. It didn't like it looked like a 5-on-4 the way they controlled the puck on a 4-on-4 opportunity. So you know, a lot of really good things are happening with the prospects down below. Cole Perfetti, again, he set up Ville Heinola, who rang it off the post. Ville Heinola scored. Didn't have his best game, but he scored another goal. So he's still contributing. So even though the Moose lost, a lot of good things are happening with the prospects. And I think that's one of the things that people are wondering is what's going to happen. And I know those were the questions on Saturday. Saturday's show was what's happening. When's David Gustafson going to get called up? And you know what? Like I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you. I think if you ask me, is he ready to be called up? I think he is. I mean, is there going to be an opportunity for him to be, you know, playing? I mean, Jason Eastwood's asking, why not send Vesalainen down and bring up Gustafson? I don't think it's a bad idea. The issue is, are you going to play David Gustafson? Are you going to play him 4 minutes the way you're doing right now? Because that's a waste. Now, to me, you've got Kyle Connor on the penalty kill tonight. That's a waste of his energy. I think I understand the idea, but wouldn't you rather have David Gustafson coming out there with maybe Tony Nato? Like, there's a opportunity for two guys. If you've got Kopp and Lowry as your first pair, why not Gustafson and Tony Nato? Because we know that Riley Nash was supposed to be this PK guy when he came in, but it doesn't seem like it's working. So, maybe,
you know, sorry, I was just going to cut in here for a second there, Dave, but you know, great Manuk Moose minute, by the way, but you know, I agree with you. I mean, but to me, like, Connor looked a lot better out there than Wheeler, right? Like, all due respect to Wheeler, like, you know, like we talked about, you know, the defensive coverage when Brian Dumoulin had that chance at even strength late in the second period. And I keep bringing that up because I have absolutely no idea why the Red Sea parted like it did. And Brian Dumoulin just walked right in, right? Like, that should not happen. Like, again, Dumoulin is a solid defensive defenseman.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I just, the defensive coverage is always something that I keep an eye on, because the Jets' defensive coverage has been, for the most part, excellent this year, right? So, again, you know, is this game going to be a one-off? We're not saying that the sky is falling here. I mean, the Jets have lost two games in a row, but we know that, you know, that game against the Canucks, the Jets could have easily won it. So, I mean, that game wasn't bad, but tonight's game was, I mean, this was a pretty poor performance. you know, in front of your home crowd here. I don't think many people watching that game would say that the Jets deserve better. Like, the Penguins deserve to win this game. They 100% full stop deserve to win this game, aside from the first period where the Jets were out shooting them 11-2 and controlling all the possession. I mean, there wasn't much there for the Jets in the second and third period, aside from, you know, the odd chance. Kyle Connor led the Jets with five shots, and I would say, along with Svechnikov, he was the Jets' best forward. That's why we were saying that, you know, maybe Paul Maurice for the game against Columbus reunites, you know, Svechnikov with Dubois and Connor. They've had so much success. One other thing I wanted to bring up, Dave, I agree with a bunch of people, you know, that have talked about the fourth line and how it wasn't playing a lot. Like, it's kind of absurd to me that Nash and Tony Nato looked so good in the first period and they weren't rewarded with more ice 100%. Time. Like, Tony Nato killed penalties, but what did he end up with? Like 7 or 8 minutes of ice time? Like, the fourth line should have been playing more in this game. And it was a tie game or a one-goal game for the majority of the time, right? So, you know, I didn't like that usage of the fourth line. Like, I talked about Vesalainen, and, like, I didn't really see him do anything of substance tonight. But Nash and Toninato were very good. And I just think they deserve more ice time, especially when they're playing that well.
Well, and as just to give Vesalainen a little bit of defense, I mean, he played 4 minutes. I mean, so the reason why you don't remember seeing him much is because you didn't see him much. I mean, unless you were looking at the Jets bench. But I mean, when you have a guy who's playing 4 minutes, I mean, what kind of expectation? Toninato, who scores your goal, he played 6 minutes and 43 seconds. And I understand that you're chasing the game and you want to let your big dogs be your big dogs and you want to try and allow them to get you back into this contest. But I mean, I don't really understand the point of having a fourth line if you're going to use him in this capacity. Because you're not. You're obviously
it's
not.
It's even more reason to call up a guy like David Gustafson.
Well, right? I mean, he's a guy who can play 25 minutes. And we
can play the wing on your fourth line, no problem.
Well, for sure. And you know, we've had some questions about right wing, and there really isn't a lot to talk about, really. Christian Reichel is pretty much your only right winger who's, you know, Austin Bogansky, he's a right winger. So, I mean, the Jets have, and he's actually played a little bit better. I was a little disappointed with the way he had played to start the season with the Moose. Maybe he was disappointed about being in the AHL because I thought he had a decent preseason for the Jets, but he's kind of come on a little bit more of late. So he's a player. He's been playing with Gustafson and Perfetti on that right side. So he's a player maybe. I'm not saying he's going to get a look, but I'm just saying, like, he's a guy who's been playing the right side. If your people are asking me about the right side. So yeah, that probably takes us to the end of the Manitoba Moose minute. Sorry, the Manuk Moose minute or Moose droppings, whatever people want to talk about. But I'll wrap it up. I'll tie it in a bow with this.
Moose droppings. We can't do moose droppings.
Well, some people are saying it, but the point is, David Gustafson, your number one call up. If the Jets need a forward, Ville Heinola will be your left side call up. If the Jets need a left side guy.
I think Gustafson gets called up in the next couple of weeks. That's my prediction. I know you were saying you don't have a crystal ball. And obviously, you know, if anybody, you know, is terrible with their predictions, it's me, right, Dave? But I think it's going to happen. You've watched him way more than I have, but I just think David Gustafson, he's not knocking at the door right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's about to bust through with a battering ram.
Well, I mean, he's done what he needs to do. I mean, again, better that he should be doing what he's doing, which is, like, scoring beautiful shorthanded goals like he did yesterday, he assisted on, but it was all him. He did all the work, and he's a workhorse, and that's what he is. So David Gustafson, Ville Heinola on the left side, and Johnny Kovacevic will be on the right side. Dylan Sandberg also, and for folks who were paying attention or want to know more, we spoke to Eric Dubois after the game. So all the questions were defense related. So go on illegalcurve.com, go to the post-game recap that I did, Admirals take the final game of the series. And you can listen to Eric Dubois' media availability where he talked about Dylan Sandberg. He talked about the defense, how he wants them to activate, how he wants them to think. So really informative. It's kind of a new thing that the Moose are doing this year. They're bringing out the assistant coaches.
I like that.
I really like it, actually. Like, it's funny. I love talking to Pascal, and we got so much interesting insight from him. And Mark Morrison's a good guy to talk to as well, the new Moose head coach. But this adds a different element to it, and it's a different insight, a different area of understanding and learning. And they went 11-7. I had a chance to ask him how that changes the way he runs the bench. So it was interesting. It was kind of a fun conversation. So go on and listen to Eric Dubois. You'll learn some stuff from him, but it's not just about Eric Dubois. Although I will end my Moose segment with talking about, the Moose have two more games in this 5-game homestand, and I've got lots of tickets. Now, I'm not giving away tonight, but I want people to think about it because I've got I think 8 tickets, 4 and 4 for the Saturday and Sunday afternoon games. Primo seats. Primo seats.
Let's do it Wednesday night, Dave.
We're going to do it Wednesday night, and we're going to do it on Friday afternoon for the Saturday-Sunday game. So that's the Moose stuff to think about. Moose are going to be practicing all week. Now let's head to Ezzy, who's going to give us the tough duck for the – go ahead, Ez.
Yeah, we'll do the – we're calling it the hardest-hitting comment. And I believe the one thing that, you know, we've had a little issue. Some people that have won the – most of the people that have won the tough duck hardest-hitting comment have emailed me, but there have been a few people that haven't emailed me. And I believe I might have picked this person. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but I love the name regardless of who it is. Roscoe Pico Train. I have no idea what that means, but I copied the comment from back at 10:39, Dave, so I'm not sure if you can put that up there, but no traffic in front of Jari per usual. The Jets always play on the perimeter and wait for wide open space as opposed to crashing the net, screening the goalie, and ideally scoring greasy, ugly goals. And I agree with that because tonight was one of those games where you look at the shots and you see that, you know, the Jets had, what did they have, Dave, like 30, 31, 32 shots. Obviously, the majority of those came in the first period and the first half of the second period. But yeah, I just, you know, I didn't think that there was that much of those second chances that we love to see. So, you know, you had, Pierre-Luc Dubois tipping some pucks in front of the net. You had Jansen Harkins going to the net. But, you know, aside from a few players, I just didn't think that there was enough. A lot of the shots were from the perimeter, as Roscoe Pico Train says. So send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and we'll send you a toque from Tough Duck.
Now, Ezzy, I think you're getting a little bit of shade in the chat because that's a Dukes of Hazzard reference. So
I've never seen Dukes of Hazzard, and people are probably going to think that, you know, I don't watch any good movie.
Maybe late
60s,
actually, but I think it's a 70s show.
And then they redid it with Jessica Simpson.
I don't know that anybody in this chat is going to want to acknowledge that.
You said Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah,
there was the remake, wasn't it? Who else was in that movie? Wasn't like Johnny Knoxville in that movie or something?
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about.
Wasn't it a movie or was it a TV show too?
Well, the original was a TV show.
Okay.
And that was from the late 70s, early 80s. Bo and Luke Duke. Come on, Ez. Gotta see, Rob Mahoney's saying Ezzy hasn't lived. He's not
I've lived.
Al Electric. He's not old enough to know the Dukes.
I've lived. I'm turning 40 next year.
Now, when you say the Duke, but see, when someone says the Dukes, do you think of that, or do you think of what was the movie with the Dukes?
Was it Daisy Duke? Dukes.
Well, now we're gonna have people sending in pictures of Ezzy and Daisy Dukes. No, what was the movie with the Dukes? Come on, people.
What about Duke Nukem? Remember that game?
Eddie Murphy was in it.
Duke Nukem 3D. I think I had that game on CD-ROM. Are you waiting for me to answer, Dave?
I'm waiting for someone to answer.
Is Drew going to pop in? I think Drew's out of traffic now. But okay, we still got the Bagelsmith bagels to give away.
Yeah, you give away the bagel one. Come on.
Half a dozen bagels. You know, I like Jason Eastwood. I've liked his comments. I'm not sure if he's a relative of former Jets 1.0 forward Mike Eastwood. But first off, great last name. Shout out to Clint as well. So we're going to give the bagels to Jason Eastwood. Half a dozen bagels, 185 Carlton Street. Head down there. I will forward your name to the fine folks at Bagelsmith, and you'll get 6 delicious bagels. So,
all right. Well, there you go. Enjoy. We've got some bagels given away. We've got some toques to give away. We're giving away, sorry. We've got some Moose tickets coming some folks' way in the next few shows.
Should we give away some Fireball?
We won't be giving some Fireball, but we will at a special Illegal Curve event coming up next month. We will have lots of Seagram's memorabilia or swag, I should say, not memorabilia, swag to give away, including that fancy, not the one that Ezzy's wearing. We won't force you to take that one unless you want it, unless someone says they want it. But we've got lots of Seagram's memorabilia, Seagram's swag to give away at a special Illegal Curve event coming up next month. See, it's so secret that
there's lots of good stuff. Yeah, we've got some plans. We're gonna give away so much stuff that like people are gonna just have to keep coming back because
90% of our show will just be us giving away stuff.
Yeah,
you get a toque.
Tickets, apparel, bagels, sandwiches.
Well, no, I can't.
Belly meat.
Will's asking for me
Should we just start giving away corned beef?
I don't know if Vina would feel like that, but Will's asking me to give him the tickets for $20. Well, I cannot do that.
No. We're going to give them to you for no money.
Well, exactly. If you are in the chat on Wednesday night, you have a very good chance of winning the tickets for nothing.
They'll be shout free. Out to the Moose, by the way, for continuing to give us tickets. You know, it's great. I mean, we love covering the Moose. We love watching the Moose. And I think, Dave, you would agree, there's nothing better. You know, we had, I think Blake at the Lake was our first, Blake Wallace was our first winner, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I think he went with his family. And yep. I mean, there's nothing better than that, right? That's what it's all
Blake's,
about.
Blake's young son, Blake told me that his son was very, our photographer went and took a couple of pictures to send to Blake so we could send him to Blake. And then but his son wasn't smiling. And he said he wanted to meet Mickey. He was desperate to meet Mickey. So hopefully he got a chance to meet Mickey Moose and make the game for him. But you know what? I think we're going to draw a conclusion on the end of this show, as we've enjoyed the chat. You know, the Jets didn't win, obviously. Drop it. Final score of 3-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're back on the ice tomorrow. As far as I know, we'll have a practice report on IllegalCurve.com. We'll have the morning papers ready to go at 7 a.m., as they always are, with an aggregation of all the latest Winnipeg Jets news. Then the Jets will hit the road for Columbus, where they reunite and get a chance to face off against, not against Patrick Laine, because of course he's out with an injury, but Jack Roslovic and former Moose head coach Pascal Vincent. So that should be a lot of fun. And then that's Wednesday night. And then, of course, Friday afternoon, the Minnesota game, that 2:30, is it 2:30 start time, I think, for the Minnesota game. So that should be
2 or 2:30.
Yeah. So you'll be spending your Friday night dinner with the Allele Curve guys, and that should be a lot of fun. So make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you hit the subscribe. Make sure you listen to the Allele Curve Hockey Show on podcast. If you listen on iTunes, drop a comment. I'll have to end the show by thanking all of our sponsors, Linden Market. Boy, you know, this isn't an easy job.
I'm getting distracted. Gears. Apparently the Daisy Dukes are the, just to go back to that, because that's really sure. What was most important. The most important thing we talked about tonight, Dave, was the Dukes of Hazzard. Apparently the Daisy Dukes are the jeans that Jessica Simpson wore.
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? No. Oh God, you're really showing your age
now. No, she was in the Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Yeah, but she wasn't the original. It was what's her name? No. I can't remember now. Of course, I can't remember her name. Because I'm not going to pretend like I was a huge Dukes of Hazzard guy.
Goldie Hawn?
No.
It could have been Catherine, Goldie Hawn.
Catherine Bach, maybe?
Catherine Hepburn?
I think it was Catherine Bach. I'm sure someone will, we'll keep the show rolling for two more minutes so we can figure that out. But anyways, Catherine Bach. Yes, good memory. Anywho, let's thank our sponsors. Linden Market Dental, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Bagel Smith, Zappia Group Realty, who am I missing? Seagram's, Boston Pizza. We've got to thank all of our sponsors because they're the reasons that the Illegal Curve Hockey Show keeps rolling along.
And don't forget our newest sponsor, Dave, Rollie's Moving and Transfer.
Rollie's Moving and Transfer. See, this is why Drew Mandel does this, and I just sit here and add some color and do the Moose Minute. Thanks, Ez, for that reminder that Ezzy's always here to give me an assist. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. If it is Monday night, it's the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm not crisp tonight. I apologize. But
Daisy Dukes.
We'll be back. Daisy Dukes is right, Ez. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back on Wednesday night. Have a good rest of your evening.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.